is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, Deliberate Manifesting with Menica. Menica is a practical, heart-centered life coach, healer, and artist based out of San Diego. Her greatest passion is to empower everyone is to step into our true potential and live our lives with greater harmony, enthusiasm, clarity, and joy. She specializes in energy clearing, deliberate manifesting, and transformation at the deepest levels. Please welcome back Menica to News for the Soul.
Hey everyone, I'm Menica Curavo. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. Today's episode is called Change Your Perspective, Change Your World. I'm a life coach and hypnosis therapist out of San Diego, as was just mentioned. And if you're interested in working with me, feel free to reach out. My website is www.curavel.com. That's K-I-R-A, V as in victory, E-L-L.com. I help folks struggling with limiting beliefs and old patterns get unstuck so that they can live life to their fullest potential and love their lives and themselves genuinely. All right, let's dive in. So in today's episode, it's really fun. I know it said in my little blurb earlier that I'm practical. Well, today I'm going very woo. But we're going to delve deeper into how perspective shifting shifts your manifestations. You know, everything from your body chemistry to your entire experience of reality. We're also going to explore the crystallization of your manifested world and how it's just one of the many variations and how you select it with your focus. And in essence, how your perception makes a world of difference in what you experience and manifest. So when I said we're going to go woo, I'm going to start out a little bit practical. So for those of you who have got like one foot in one boat and one foot in the other, that way hopefully you won't jump ship. But eventually we're going to get weird. So for those of you who are into superpowers and quantum jumping, get your capes out. It's going to be fun. So the first place I want to start with is the topic of the show, Change Your Perspective, Change Your World. Why would you want to do this? And this is a little bit of a kind of a review of things that I've talked about in other episodes during the series. And really, when I say shift your perspective, it's not about being a Pollyanna or putting on your rose-colored glasses and not seeing the world for what it is or experiencing the world for what it is, but it is about choosing what is more beneficial for you after you have acknowledged the way you really feel about things. So I'm a huge believer in acknowledging, facing, and replacing. Because I also work in holistic healing, I do hypnosis and I have a long background in body work, etc. I have seen what happens when people do not express what's going on for them, what's real for them. So I just want to be really clear right off the bat. In manifesting, your energy, your state, your vibe is incredibly important. I've dropped this mantra many times, to vibrate at the frequency of that which you seek, but it is of utmost importance to be real with yourself. So acknowledge, face, and replace. Your emotions are energy in motion. If you see something that happens in your life, if you're experiencing something and you don't like it, be real with yourself. Get that energy moving and out in a healthy way. If that means screaming at the top of a mountain, if that means going to the gym, working out, if that means, you know, scripting your brains out, journaling, you know, yelling onto the page, do that. And what happens is the energy will dissipate. Once you have gotten the energy to settle down somewhat, then you can kind of take a step back, and that's where you can really do some perspective shifting. And what I mean by this is looking at the glass as half full as opposed to empty, okay? That's just two different ways to look at the exact same thing, half empty or half full. To give you some practical examples of that, you know, I had some clients in the last couple of weeks where this theme came up, hence I'm talking about it in this episode. One person was talking about how their friend's business had taken off. They're doing the business that they had always wanted to do, and they were feeling some envy and some jealousy about it. And so then I shared what I'm going to delve into in this particular episode, which is I always look at those things. I'm not saying, you know, of course the jealousy and envy hits, that's fine. But then get it out of your system, settle down. And then once you understand the paradigm I'm going to go into a little bit further today or something similar to it, you don't have to subscribe to this by any means. You'll see how actually when you see that in your reality, it's actually a really good sign. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the science and biology behind that in a moment here. But the idea is like if somebody is getting married, you know, at one point in your life, in someone's life, they may be really bummed out that there's all these weddings happening. They'll feel, oh, I'm so lonely. I don't have anyone in my life. This isn't going to happen for me. At another point in that life, in their life, and when they're in a different state, when they're vibing differently and have a different attitude and maybe whatever, different circumstances, they could just see all these weddings as signs of celebration, of springtime energy, of love, of connection, of union, not even specifically for them, but just what a wonderful thing to be a part of, right? So what happens when you shift your perspective? Well, the first thing that shifts are your emotions. You feel differently. If you look at people having weddings or other people having the business that you want as something to be envious or jealous of, you're going to feel more isolated and alone. And what's going to happen? You're not going to feel as well. And then physiologically, that has a result. That's the second manifestation. You're manifesting it every constant moment, which I've shared many times over. A lot of times people think, oh, I'm specifically manifesting this. I'm manifesting this. It's actually every split second, every moment of your life. This world is a crystallization. It is a reflection of what is in your internal world. It's a very creative collage, moving collage, a gestalt of all the things that you are vibing at any point. So going back to the example of, let's just take the weddings, this person is feeling envious or jealous about not having this in their life, even though they've been invited to all these weddings, or maybe they're just seeing all these weddings, what's going to happen? Well, they're not going to feel as great. They're going to feel isolated. Okay, so that's the first manifestation that they've created in terms of the way they feel about it. The second would be physiologically. Now their hormones and different kinds of, there's not as much serotonin, dopamine, et cetera, et cetera. And then that ripples out even further. You know, this person all of a sudden is not as magnetic, charismatic, as happy, glowing as they would be if they were in this different part of their life, in a different state where they look at all these weddings as such a beautiful sign of enthusiasm, of connection, celebration, and so on and so forth. So those are kind of the practical manifestations that you can easily track. Your body is the first point of contact, you could say, after your energy system. So first you feel things energetically as a human, and then it hits your point of contact, which is your physical body, and you have chemistry changes. And then you even have changes in your brain that take place, right? This is neuroplasticity. So we have something called the reticular activating system, this bundle of nerves, and there's probably much more to it. But essentially that is like a filtering system of what you focus on in your world. This is a physical aspect of your physical body that actually helps to filter of all the data. They say that your brain and your eyes and your senses are perceiving all the things, but you can only process so much, and even on a conscious level, it's even less so. And so you have these parts of your brain and your anatomy that filter out, and the reticular activating system specializes in this, in terms of what we're talking about anyway, where it filters out from all the things that you are, all the data, what you focus on. And this is what we call neuroplasticity. Your brain is constantly changing based on your patterns of attention and focus. Now, in Wu speak, in Menaka speak, where your energy goes, where your focus goes, energy flows. And that's where we're going to dive into next. So, crazy paradigm. The reason that I'm going to share a paradigm like this and why I think it's so beneficial to jump on board with something like this, and I know it sounds a bit strange that I'm prefacing this before I even dive into it, but I just want to give you the benefits so that if you are skeptical of kind of New Age speak and quantum physics and the way that kind of New Agers and energy healers and people of my disposition and propensity kind of use this kind of language, I want to share with you the benefits of why it's so, why it can be so helpful for you. The more flexible you become in your consciousness and in your mind, in your psyche, with your beliefs and your ideas of how reality works, first of all, it's going to free you from a lot of past stories. It's going to free you from a lot of limiting beliefs. Things don't have to be a certain way. Just because you had a certain childhood doesn't mean things are going to be like this for you any longer. Just because things were like this yesterday doesn't mean like they have to be like this again starting now. So a paradigm with what like what I'm going to share with you can really free you. I mean, this is like Morpheus level stuff, free your mind kind of stuff. So that allows you to have quantum leaps in your life. So in your manifestations, you know, I mean, the truth is you're tuning into the show and you're on this network, you're probably already on board. But I don't know, maybe there's some swing voters in the audience. I'm not really sure. So I mean, I have a mix of clients. I have very, very super progressive, like super far-reaching in their mind kind of clients. And then I have some more kind of pragmatic, traditional, you know, they're just kind of stepping their toes in the water. So this is for you guys, for those of you who are just kind of getting your toes wet. You can have quantum leaps in your life. In fact, the more dynamic you become in your mind and your belief system, the more dynamic your life will become. And I don't mean dynamic in terms of even physical manifestations, but I'm telling you about what's going on in your internal world. So I want to give the example, for example, of like shamanic indigenous folk from nations around the world, you know, that are living in small communities. Maybe they don't travel a lot. They certainly aren't watching Netflix every night. But, and I've worked with some of these people. I've been blessed enough to visit some of these people in India and in South America. And they are traveling in their consciousness. Their life is versatile and incredibly rich in different ways than what we as Westerners may recognize. So some of these people are dream travelers. They have yogic powers. What they can do with their mind and consciousness is just absolutely mind-blowing. So the more flexible you are in your consciousness and in your beliefs, and the more flexible the paradigm that you subscribe to is, the more you're able to manifest this kind of dynamic experience, which leads to greater value fulfillment. And value fulfillment, this is a Sethian term. If you've been following along with me since the beginning of the Deliberate Manifesting series, I'm a huge fan of Seth, the Seth material, as brought through Jane Roberts in the 60s and 70s. And value fulfillment is the idea of what the soul, the spirit, the personality really takes with it is the intensity of experience. So if you have a bunch of mundane breakfasts, it's not going to be really recorded. It's not really remembered or anything that you would ever consider data that you would want to keep with you. But if you had the most amazing orgasmic mouth-watering breakfast, for example, that is an intense experience. And that's kind of how spirit really measures value, if you will. So you will up-level in your value fulfillment. The more flexible you become with your mind, your manifestation powers will go up. You'll be able to quantum leap in your manifestations. Instead of, you know, taking months to get that job, you can get that job overnight. Instead of months to get to that relationship that you, or even years for some people, getting that ideal relationship, you can have that literally overnight. I've done that myself. It's crazy. You can totally quantum leap. Miracles become everyday things. And I believe that in just opening your mind to these kinds of ideas really helps to free yourself. So let me dive in. But first, I'm going to start with a Seth quote to preface all this. And you know, like I said, even if you're not into all this stuff, just think about this as flexing your mind muscles and like brain exercises. You know, you don't have to believe in it, but it's going to be a fun process. It's fun to think about and, you know, try it on for size. So here's a Seth quote. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time. There is a design and a designer, but they are so combined, the one within the other, the one within and the one without, that it is impossible to separate them. The creator is within its creations, and the creations themselves are gifted with creativity. The world comes to know itself, to discover itself, for the planner left room for divine surprise, and the plan was nowhere foreordained. Okay, and that last line is like the most important line there. The world comes to know itself to discover itself, for the planner left room for divine surprise, and the plan was nowhere foreordained. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I just repeated it so that, you know, hopefully it sticks a little bit. So the essence of this paradigm that I want to share with you for quantum leaping in your deliberate manifestations or your manifesting is that your point of power is now. And you've probably heard this from Eckhart Tolle and however many other folks. This is your point of now. And I just want to go a little deeper into what this means, because I used to wonder what this means. You know, people are like, be present, be in this present moment. In fact, this present moment is what Seth calls the spacious present. Everything exists within the spacious present. It's this ever-perpetual now. And within that are past trajectories and probabilities. Within that are future trajectories and probabilities. In fact, there's probably tons of other vectors that we don't even know about and think about. We're incapable of even comprehending as humans. But there are all the trajectories within the spacious present. And why is that important? For manifesting, well, if you've been with me or if you've been manifesting on your own, which hopefully we're doing it always automatically anyway, but if you're doing it deliberately, you may be scripting for a future, right? You're scripting something that you want to call in, and you're imagining the feeling of having it, for example. Or alternatively, maybe you are reminiscing. You can also manifest based on reminiscing beautiful memories from the past or imagination, or you could be watching something on, I've manifested watching a show about love and romance before that was just my favorite show. And then 3 weeks later, I manifested someone who was just like the character in the show. The point is it could be happening at any quote unquote time in your mind's eye or in what you're observing on television or wherever it is or in your worldly experience, but it's all existing in this present moment, which is now. And it's the spacious present. So in the spacious present, you could say Atlantis exists, you know, all of Egypt, all the variations of all of that, all the universes, all the planets, all the history, yesterday, today, tomorrow, 1,000 years from now, 2,000 years from now, so on and so forth. It's all existing in the spacious present. The only thing that separates it all is a frequency. Okay, everything has its own frequency. Its own specific, and then within that there are moment points. Okay, I digress a little bit, but just because it's fun. Within the spacious present, there are moment points. So the way to think about that, I guess, here's an analogy. If you go into a library and you take a book off of a shelf, you're existing in this library right now, but then you open a page and you dive into a whole other world. Right? That's like a moment point. And you can dive into the moment point of anyone and anything, of anything, even concepts. You can dive into a concept. And so it's like time becomes irrelevant. The experience of time is irrelevant. You can expand and shrink time. It's all very malleable. And the way that this is all going to come full circle, but just stick with me, guys. So the point of power is now. Now, as I've shared, you know, ad nauseum, vibrate at the frequency of that which you seek. That is, in my opinion, the most efficacious way to manifest, to be in a state that represents a state of having. So if you're in a state of delight, if you're enjoying whatever's in front of you, if you're enjoying your past memories, if you're enjoying your future, your future visualizations, whatever it is, you're in the state of having. Again, acknowledge, face, and replace, get it out of your system, and then be glass half full and have that mental diet, which is essentially this kind of presence with your state, understanding that what I'm vibing now is the most important of all. And this state, I want you to imagine the state as the moment. Imagine you have a still pond, and the moment that a stone is dropped and hits the still pond and it ripples out. Okay, that moment of impact with all those ripples is your state. And that is what your state is doing at all times in the fabric of all that is. At perpetually. You are perpetually vibing with all those ripples based on your state, infinite times a second probably, right? So what those ripples are in this analogy, those ripples are all the trajectories. This point of power, now, state of who you are now at this particular moment, when you hit that pond perpetually, countless times a second, this version of you has its own new future probabilities, future trajectories. And this is very easy for humans to understand. Okay, if I make this choice now, if I'm in this state right now, then this is what's likely to happen, right? Future. But what we don't often think as humans, because we've been trained to think so linearly, is that in fact the past has its own probabilities and trajectories as well. And I really love the way that Bashar, who's channeled and brought through Daryl Anka, he's a future version of Daryl Anka, and just like Seth is a future version of Jane Roberts. And I would love to have a whole show just to talk about how all that works. It's super fascinating and interesting. No person is alike twice. Everything is super unique. Anyway, okay, back on topic. Anyway, I love the way that Bashar explains this. He's like, at every moment, you are a new you. In fact, you are a new you, and you have a new history that it's not cause and effect. It's actually effect, and then the causes are created. Okay, you become the new you, and then the backstory that makes the most sense for you to have become this new you, because of the way that humans think, then comes into being in a sense, then becomes activated rather. It's there already, but it becomes activated. So why is this so freeing? How does this work? Well, first I'll talk about why it's so freeing. It frees you from the old stories. You don't need to fix yourself. You're not messed up because of something that happened in your childhood. You shift your perspective, you shift your state, and then you have a completely different take with a completely different history. Now you could say that makes no sense, Menica. How could that possibly be? I remember what happened to me as a child. I remember I even talked to my mother about what just happened, you know, blah, 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 when this happened when I was a child. Because you enter into a new frame of reality. Okay. This paradigm is woo. Okay, but you enter into a new version of reality that has new histories and new future probabilities. And the more dynamic you are in your state, the more dynamic those changes can be. So people who live very simple lives, let's say hundreds of years ago in the same village, their lives weren't very dynamic because their consciousness wasn't so dynamic. But as consciousness became more dynamic, for example, in the civilization, we started to see a lot more transformation in our external world, which our external world now is quite dynamic, right? We have a lot of communication, we have movement, we have travel, we have all the things. So this is why it's so beneficial. It frees you from realizing you don't need to change anything except for your state of being and except for your vibrational offering. This is why this is so powerful. And how does this work? So some of you might say, okay, well, what are you saying? It's all preordained. It's all predestined. This is where I want to go back to that Seth quote. That last line of the Seth quote was, the world comes to know itself to discover itself, for the planner left room for divine surprise, and the plan was nowhere foreordained. It is infinite intelligence, and the probabilities are created well in advance, in the sense that a good psychic here on planet Earth is a good psychic because they can read energetic momentum. They can read probabilities. Now, they may not speak in that language. It just comes as downloads and intuition, but that's what a good psychic will do. They can read what is the energetic momentum that you've got going on in regards to any particular subject. Is it guaranteed that it's going to happen? If it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that they're a bad psychic. It just means you have free will. You have free choice. And so you may not, maybe there was an 80% chance you were going to meet this dude or meet this person, but there was a 20% chance you weren't. That's a pretty strong momentum that you're going to, but you could change at any point. For example, I had just like a few months ago, I had this offer to do hypnosis regularly at this retreat center, which is something I was calling in. I was like, oh, I'd love to work at like a retreat center. I was totally gung-ho all about it. until about a week before, and then I flipped on a dime. The momentum was all there and ready, which is probably why I got the opportunity to begin with. But then I ended up shifting gears, and instead I manifested this amazing art opportunity. I'm an artist as well, so I've been wanting to work more in art, and I decided to take the artistic route. So that's where your free will comes in. So going back to psychics have moment, they can read really good momentum. Well, infinite intelligence has a much broader perspective than we do, and they can see probabilities and all the things play out probably to what we would consider to be infinity as humans. But what we choose to manifest, it's all experience. It all exists in that sense, or enough of it that we would consider it all. Okay, now is it future universes all? Probably not, but it's probably to the end, you know, probabilities on what the civilization will do for sure. But what will we actually choose to create and co-create as a civilization, as a species, as an individual? That is all up to us, and that can change even if there's the slightest, even just having a 0.00001 chance that still exists, that could happen. So it's happening perpetually. This present moment is all you really need to focus on. What you're vibing in this moment, doesn't matter if you're focusing on the past, the future, the present, what's going on the other side of the world, just your mental diet, your state of mind now is all that you need to create the future probabilities for what you want to call in your life, the stories that you want to share of your past. And, oh, going back to what Bashar and Seth would say, you wouldn't even know, based on the current version of you, what your past history used to, quote-unquote, be when you were in a different state. And again, going back to what I was saying, you could say, well, no, I validate it with my mother. You know, of course, everybody in society has the same historical memories as me. But what I was going to say, in case I didn't say it already, I just will reiterate here, you have stepped into a new frame of reality where there is agreement in this particular reality on that shared history. And so that's why you would not know the difference. So in shifting your point, in shifting your state now, your point of power is now, it doesn't matter what happened in past lives because the change still happens within you now. So I do hypnotherapy, and sometimes people come in for past life regressions and stuff like that, and that's fine. That's all within their belief system. That's what they need. They believe that it's something that happened in the past. In my opinion, I don't share this with them because they don't need to know that. To me, it's all simultaneous. It's all happening at the same time. You know, it's just like pulling a book out of a library and saying, okay, this was me in another life, but it's all happening right now in that moment point. You open up that book and you're having that experience. But sometimes that's the way the person, they have a belief system and they say, oh, okay, when I resolve this in my past life, then I will feel resolved here and now. And so that is the story and the route that they take to find the relief that they need now. There's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine. We all do that. I do that in my own way. I think I need to find resolution with this through, you know, XYZ, and then I will find resolution. I just did like 3 months of detoxing, or rather, yeah, about 2 to 3 months of detoxing. And I could have done it with my mind knowing what I know, but that would have been doing like a lot of mental gymnastics for me. You know, that's like me trying to levitate or something. I was like, I need to do it through the natural bridge of events, which is me doing detoxing, changing my diet, doing some liver flushing and so on and so forth, kidney tonification, and I did a bunch of energetic work. So when you understand that your point of power is now, when you understand that the past is completely malleable, the future is malleable, in a sense, in our context, it all exists. You don't even have to create anything new. You can select whatever you want to experience by selecting your state, by selecting what you focus on and how you perceive, you know, the glass half full. You perceive it's not what happens, it's what you do with what happens, which is really, really important. So the mental diet, you want to perpetuate the best state. And the reason I'm such a big proponent of this mental diet, which is being aware of what you're vibing now and how you're feeling now, is because it constantly is perpetuating. So it's like a ball rolling downhill. You know, if you get into a good state now, and of course life is life, we have ups and downs, but knowing this information, it behooves you to kind of put your best leg forward, best foot forward. And then you start to build this momentum, and then you are, I like this term. This is a book by, I believe he's a Russian physicist or something. It's called reality transurfing. You reality transurf more easily to a reality that is a match, a vibrational match for what it is that you are projecting outwards. And in that reality, you have greater flow. You know, the opportunities are coming. All the connections and collaborations, all the things are just popping for you much more easily. And again, I know I'm jumping a little bit all over the place. I think this is the nature of the conversation, which is jumping timelines. When I talked about how there is a shared framework in each history or a shared historical story that would be validated by everyone in your reality that would back up the new version of you, and it's not cause and effect, it's you affect the causes through your state now. Many of you might have had the experience with the what is called the Mandela effect. This was kind of my entry point into all this timeline jumping and infinite variations of reality. It was certainly a huge factor in me understanding what was going on, because I was one of those probably millions of people at this point in this reality that we're in that had heard of Nelson Mandela as a child and how he went to prison. I had heard that he had died in prison. And then years later came to know he got out of prison and became president, right? So that was huge for me, because I could swear on, you know, my father's ashes that I knew that Nelson Mandela had died in prison, but he didn't. He became, in this reality, he became president. At least that's the reality I think we're in. Maybe I've jumped again and there's like a different story. The other huge, and so that was an example of where there was some bleed through. There's some memory, because we're entering into this more malleable cosmic timeline. That's the one I'm in, the new Earth trajectory, where we're having a split between these timelines. And people are having memories of other timelines. So that makes sense with my history and what I push out and project in this world. The other example of a huge one that many, many people, I think probably thousands, maybe even millions, if they're aware of her, was Jane Goodall. Jane Goodall was this biologist. She worked with gorillas. I was really into biology when I was younger. I remember reading it in my books and hearing about how she had died. I think it was in the 80s or the 90s. Lo and behold, I'm in a new timeline, and I didn't realize I was, because then I hear that I saw in the papers, actually, or like in a magazine or something, that Jane Goodall had died. And I think this was maybe 10 years ago or something like that. And I said, no. Jane Goodall definitely died in like the 80s or the 90s. I remember reading that. And that's an example of the Mandela effect. This is the example of how we are moving through different timelines constantly. And you move into a shared framework that everyone in that reality agrees on, and it goes from the macro to the micro, meaning as a civilization you have shared histories, as a family unit you have shared histories, as an individual you have your own past memories. But then you can see, as you start going into these more dynamic timelines and more cosmic timelines like the one we're in now, where there's so much transformation happening, people are aware of quantum mechanics, people are starting to become much more fluid and flexible in their mind, and the idea of linear time is starting to break down. Even our concept of space is starting to break down. You know, we can be on the other side of the world and at a different time zone in within just a few hours. So all of this, even if it's consciously we've become so used to it, on all these levels, it's breaking down our concepts of space and time. And so you start to see all this bleed through in examples of like the Mandela effect and stuff. But it's just something to be aware of, that this is how malleable and flexible reality really is. And so if it is that flexible and malleable, if there is a timeline where this person died, and then in another they're still existing, and you jump from one to the other, who's to say you don't have a completely different history? Maybe you really were. Like, for example, for me, I've always as an artist, I was really late in starting because I came from a very kind of traditional mathematics. I mean, my family's very creative, but my family really wanted me to get into science and engineering. You know, and engineering actually is pretty dope, but I've always been very gypsy and very kind of holistic health, arts, and very liberal arts leaning. But I was encouraged, and I don't want to say forced, but in this history, I was heavily encouraged to go into the sciences. And I turned down a lot of artistic opportunities. I was once even flown out, even though I didn't even have a degree in arts, but I did so much on the side. I was flown out to New York for this pretty big graphic design firm. And I, in this reality, in this history that I'm sharing, I did not get the job. But I always wondered about that. I was like, gosh, if I had just taken, imagine if I did take an art degree and if I had the confidence in all those things, I bet I would have gotten that amazing job like right out the door and how different my life would be. But what I'm trying to say, what I'm sharing with this paradigm is that actually there was a reality where I did do that. I can imagine it. But that's how flexible it all is, that in a way it almost becomes irrelevant because I can be anything that I want starting in this moment right now. So hopefully this is starting to make some sense, why a paradigm like this is so potent and powerful. I don't think that anybody has to subscribe to something like this. You know, certainly there might be aspects of it that don't resonate as much or something like that, but having something like this that is not so limiting as many of the traditional kind of creation stories that many of us have been taught and told, even whether from the scientific realm or the religious or the spiritual realm, but having a very dynamic, flexible, malleable kind of paradigm like this, it's very empowering. And I think truly that's probably a very good indicator on maybe not even how true something is, but how beneficial it is for you to take something on is just how empowering is it for you, if it's incredibly empowering. And for me, the proof is in the pudding. I've seen that, you know, since the more and deeper and deeper and deeper I've gotten into this kind of stuff, I've seen the changes in my life and those of my clients who've tried this on for size. And like I said, it's crazy. Miracles become every day. You collapse time and space where those things don't seem to matter as much. And then you can also find the evidence. Once you open your mind, all of a sudden the evidence for what you are now kind of opening your mind towards, you start to find. You know, you jiggle a photon, you take a photon, you split it, you jiggle it over here, and you jiggle, and the other one on the other side of the world does the exact same thing. So it's all connected. Time and space is irrelevant, right? It's simultaneous. Okay, and we have a few minutes left, so I wanted to talk about in this reality transurfing, as you are moving through timelines that greater reflect the who you are, that are going to be manifesting what it is you're calling in because of who you are now, you're manifesting the version of events and things that are a reflection of who you are now. So it's a version of you with this matching version of reality. There is what we call the natural bridge of events. And I've shared this in other episodes, but I never seem to go into as much depth as I want to. So today I'm really glad I'm just taking a special 10, 15 minutes to really dive into the natural bridge of events because it's so potent and so powerful. This term was actually coined, I believe, by Neville Goddard, who was also a mystic in, I think, around this, he might have passed away around in the 60s or 70s. But anyway, he's got a lot of heaps and heaps and heaps of great books. A lot of them are really short, but they're super powerful. I name drop him periodically because he's been hugely, highly influential for myself and many others. But he's got books like The Law and the Promise. That would be the first one I'd recommend. If you're looking for a really quick read, you can read in a couple hours. And majority of it is, it's 12 chapters. The 12th is he's very much into kind of divine interpretations of the Bible as manifestation. So if that floats your boat and sounds interesting, check it out. But the first 11 chapters are essentially stories, manifestation stories of people just using visualization, predominantly states akin to sleep visualizations, and just expectation and assumption to manifest crazy things like tons of money, huge businesses, dream homes, all sorts of stuff. And this was written back in the day, and they're straight from his clients, very powerful. And anyway, so, and in that they talk about the natural order of events that unfolds, you know, that he goes into in each story, you know, what happened, what were the kind of linkage points. So as you become more flexible in your psyche, in your attitude, in your paradigms that you subscribe to, in your belief systems, the natural bridge of events can become a lot more dynamic as well. For example, if you are calling in a bunch of, let's say you're trying to manifest a lot of money, but you just believe that you make money through your job at work, well, then you might, your natural bridge of events is kind of more limited to, oh, I need to get a raise, or I need to work more hours, or I need to work overtime, or something like that. But if you become really flexible, the more flexible you are and the more open you are to infinite possibility, I believe, in my experience, the faster things will come, and they will come in miraculous ways, in ways that are just things you couldn't even have imagined. And maybe this is a good time to just mention again, when we're deliberately manifesting anything in our life, we don't worry about the how, the when. I would even say don't even worry about the who. Don't be so specific about that, but try not to be specific about the hows or the whens. Just be open. This is what I want. This is what it feels like. Maybe this is why I want it. That's it. So when you do that, you're really keeping all the possibilities open, unless you have some very limiting beliefs in some areas of your mind, which will show themselves. Then the universe has to work around your resistance. In fact, it's you. You have to work around your own resistance when you're manifesting and creating those things. So if you are very flexible, just to go back to that example, in the ways that you manifest money, then you could get magical checks in the mail. This has happened to me. You get magical checks, so all of a sudden you had some account that you don't even remember ever opening in this new reality that you're in, and they're sending you a big check because that's the remainder of your balance, and you're like, I literally never opened that account. But okay, sure, thank you so much. So the natural bridge of events is how the things unfold, and a really powerful belief, which is, I think, kind of built into this paradigm that I just shared, is that it's all working out for me no matter what. It's always working out for me. So even though I'm going through a gnarly breakup, I'm not right now, but let's just say, even though, quote unquote, I'm going through a gnarly breakup right now, seems like the end of the world, I'm heartbroken, da-da-da-da. If I have this belief, if I understand that this is the way things work, I understand. I know that I'm always calling love in. I know that this, for when this door closes, a new one will open, right? I can't be in the relationship of my dreams. Well, I suppose this doesn't apply to people who are polyamorous, but whatever, I'm monogamous. So in this example, I won't be with this person of my dreams unless this other relationship, which is no longer serving me at my highest and best, dissolves. So understanding the natural bridge of events, sometimes it doesn't look like things are working out. But remember, it's not what happens, it's what you do with what happens. Glass half full. It shifts your physiology, it shifts your chemistry. This is all on the scientific kind of practical day-to-day level. And then on the quantum level, you are literally calling in a new reality that is a better match for your vibe. So it is always working out for me. The natural bridge of events is always leading to me to where I need to go, even if it doesn't look like it. Sometimes the old needs to be destroyed. And you can always handle what you create. I mean, that's a good belief to have as well. You know, but I will say sometimes if I have a lot of resistance around something, I'll be like, I'm going to manifest this in the easiest, flowiest way. And then when I start scripting it or if I start imagining it, I will actually insert a line in my imaginal scene or in my last episode, I talked about specific techniques. So these are some specific techniques for manifesting, like imaginal scenes, scripting, and so on and so forth. I will actually insert a line that says, oh, and it happened in the most magical or the most easy, flowy, natural way, you know. So if you're concerned about something happening, you know, if you have like a history of things happening in difficult, kind of in a difficult way, then you can manifest that, you can insert that into your future thing. So you will select a timeline where that actually happened in an easier, flowier way. I do want to share another thing about Natural Bridge of Events. Sometimes, I was sharing this with a client earlier this week, if things are not popping, let's say you've been like vibing in the state of having, you've been doing all your very fun, enjoyable exercises for selecting that reality with your mind and your focus and et cetera, but it hasn't really been popping for you. So that's usually because there is a block, there is a resistance, often in terms of some kind of limiting belief or something like that. Or you really need to default to, there's either some resistance or default back to something in my vibe about me really being, which again is another kind of form of resistance, I'm not really vibing at some level, because you wouldn't be asking why isn't this happening if you were really content with what was going on now. That's a huge part of the mental diet, is the grass is green where I am. If you're always looking over there, the grass is green on the other side. Inside that wanting, which is fine, I mean, it's fine to have desire, of course. That's what makes us move forward. That's what makes us go for it. But in that wanting, there could be a little bit of yearning in it, which is a different vibration from having. Okay, that's a vibration of lack, and then you're perpetuating lack. So sometimes that's what I find. There's usually a resistance if something's not popping after like 1 to 3 months, which is kind of a long time. But for some things, you know, you're playing a little bit more of a long game. Let's say you're doing a career change, or, you know, you're looking for a new house or whatever. Those things can happen overnight. But let's say for whatever the reason, it's a long game thing for you and you don't see it popping, and that's where I would, you look back and you measure. Like, that was happening for me with something, and I went back to the drawing board, and I was like, okay, I have a block somewhere, or there's just something not in alignment with this. And I'm going to use an example like I gave you guys in prior episodes, but I was launching a new business years ago, and it was not taking off. And I was seriously perplexed. Like, I was living in it. I was feeling really good in life. And after, like, a few months, I was like, this is bizarre. This has not popped. There's something going on. And then I kind of sat down, meditated on it, and my intuition kicked out. You know, you've got a belief about your mom. And what you think that your mom thinks about you is holding you back. So anyway, then I started to do this 55x5 exercise where I script the new belief for my mother, what my mom thinks about me. I can't control what my mom thinks, but I can control what I think that she thinks, if that makes sense. That's the kind of free will and control I have. I don't have control over what she thinks, but I have control over what I think that she thinks, right? So I changed what I thought that my mother thinks. And I changed it to, my mother thinks I'm a complete success, blah, 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 blah. I know this is indicative of Menica having mommy issues. I've worked through them since then, but I share this for you, for your benefit. Hopefully this benefits some of you. I did that for like less than 2 weeks. And then I talked to her. She had called me on like the 10th or 12th day or something like that. And she just completely had shifted her entire perspective on me. She's like, I don't know why I ever worried about you. You've always blown my mind. Everything that, I mean, she was like basically writing everything that I had scripted in the last prior 10, 12 days or whatever. And then just like that, literally, she made that call. She's like, I haven't been worried for you in a few days, and I just wanted to call and let you know. And just like that, my business took off, and I went into like a six-figure business, like literally within like a few days. So if something's not popping with the Natural Bridge of Events, if something isn't, you do need to take stock. You can look at it and just try and, you know, sit with yourself and see where it could be. And that seems like a needle out of a haystack, right? Of all the things that I could have been thinking and believing. But that's why meditation's so powerful. I sat down, I meditated, I asked Spirit, I said, what is holding me back? What is this? I might have even asked before I went to sleep. I don't remember. But I asked through guidance, through intuition. And I've shared many, many techniques for that in the past couple of months, or last several months, rather. And, yeah, and then that's what kicked out. And then, let's see, I have another example. Yeah, it's just the way you feel. You know, you have this nagging feeling. You know, you're doing all the things on the surface, but then if you really get real with yourself, there's this feeling, this underlying feeling. And this is where, you know, again, it's like this is a practice of getting to know yourself and working with your feelings and being really real with yourself. And you can kind of just feel like yeah, there's something not right here. I don't really feel as enthused about this. That's how I felt about that that gig that I got offered to do hypnosis at this retreat center. You know, it sounded really magical off the bat. I was kind of calling that in. But then when I sat in with it, for some reason, I was like, that is time that I really want to be doing working in art. Like, this is, you know, and it was kind of a quite a bit of a drive. It was a lot of distance and all that kind of stuff. And I just did the math, and I was just like, but at first, you know, the first month or so, I was all about it. But then I was like, this isn't really, I know this isn't a specific example of natural bridge of events, but it is in the sense of my art stuff taking off. Because in terms of that manifestation, I had to kind of go through this and sit with this experience. And when I finally said, you know what, it's a great opportunity, but this isn't for me, when I honored myself and turned that down, then the other opportunity popped for me. So that's kind of the way the natural bridge of events, like in a nutshell, works. Just always have the idea that everything is leading you there. It's always working out for you, no matter what. Change your perspective, change your life. You shift your perspective, everything in your world starts changing, from your physiology, from the way you feel, into your relationships, your connection, and all of that is very pragmatic and practical. And then, if you may, if it resonates for you, start stretching your mind and start thinking about things non-linearly and understanding how things are very malleable in this reality, how things are really starting to, like, it's not just what you see. It's so much more than that. And you have so much more power than you think that you do. So I hope this is empowering for you. I hope you have a wonderful week. I appreciate you tuning in to this week's episode of Deliberate Manifesting. I, again, am your host, Menica Kiravel. I'm a life coach, hypnosis practitioner, vibrational thought scientist. My online home is www.kiravel.com. That's K-I-R-A, V as in victory, E-L-L.com. And you're welcome to visit me anytime and reach out if you want to work together. Till next time, everyone, have a fantastic week.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.